I want to do a thought experiment this morning. So I want you to picture in your mind your place of work. You know, maybe it's that cubicle you sit at, or behind the wheel of that truck that you drive, or maybe you're a stay-at-home parent, and I want you to picture that pile of laundry and those unpaid bills, or maybe you're a student, and I want you to picture that pile of homework that has to get done. You got it in your mind? Can you see it? Now, I want you to picture the worst day ever at that workplace. The things that you're supposed to accomplish are not happening. You got that? Now, I want you to think about what sound you would make on a day like that. And on the count of three, we're all going to make that sound together. Ready? One, two, three. Ugh, yeah, we're there. We got it. Now, I want to lead you through that thought experiment in my own mind, how that might work. And as I go through this, the story I'm about to tell you is not an actual story. It's a thought experiment. And so I want you to try to transpose it into your workplace. You with me? So here we go. My very first job in my adult life was I was a caricature artist at amusement parks. And I started off in Chicago at Great America. If you've been to Valley Fair and seen those guys or at the Mall of America drawing that, well, those guys are actually my friends, and we started together back in Chicago. And so that's the picture I want to bring up in my mind. Now, we would work all summer long, and we made tons of money, but the park would stay open into the weekends in the fall. And we had to go and open the booth. And I tell you, in mid-October, it was cold in Chicago and rainy and miserable. And so that's where I want my thought experiment to take place. So here I am sitting on a Sunday afternoon in a freezing cold caricature booth, and I haven't drawn anything all week long. My fingers are freezing, and I'm like, ugh. And then I look up. It's like a couple hours before the park's supposed to close, and we're going to close up early, you know. And I look up, and there's my pastor standing in my caricature booth. And he looks at me and he says, "Now, Steve, I want you to stay open for a couple more hours." What goes through my mind at that moment? I'm like, you know, all due respect, Pastor, but you have no idea what you're talking about. You don't know anything about drawing caricatures. There's nobody here. I haven't drawn anything. And he's persistent. And he says, "No, just trust me. Just keep it open." So out of respect for the cloth, I go, fine, and I keep it open. Then all of a sudden, people just start flowing out of the ride exits, and they come right to my caricature booth, and they start lining up, and they're clamoring to have their faces drawn, because, you know, you draw a face and you make money. That's how it works. And so people are coming, and I'm drawing as fast as I can. I have to call artists from the other side of the park to come and handle this huge crowd. So I'm drawing and making money, and they're buying frames. I'm making more money. They're stuffing my tip jar with tips. And like, whoa, we get done a couple hours later, and I've made more money than I've made in all the weekends combined. The dust clears, and I look over, and there's my pastor leaning against the post with a big old smile on his face. And I realize, whoa, something just happened that is beyond natural. And he comes over to me, and he says, "You know, Steve, you draw people for money. And that's okay. That's good. But what if you saw people differently and you drew them into my kingdom? Poof. Change everything." Now, did you see that playing out in your workplace? That's what happened to Simon in our story. I want to tell you Simon's story. I need you to open to Luke chapter 4, actually, because Simon's story begins just a little bit before our text picks up. So here's Simon's story. It actually begins with Jesus. Look in chapter 4 of Luke in verse 38. It says, "After leaving the synagogue, he," now that's Jesus, "he entered Simon's house. This is first contact with Simon. You know, a lot of times in the other Gospels, it tells the story of the calling of the first disciples, and it appears like it's some stranger shows up to some fishermen, and he's like, hey, you want to follow me? And they're like, sure. And they drop their nets, and they follow him. And it never made sense to me. But Luke takes us deeper into the story. It begins with Jesus going into Simon's house. And what does he do in Simon's house? He heals his mother-in-law. So here Jesus is in this home, and he brings healing into this home. And Luke doesn't tell us how Simon responds to that amazing event. But now in chapter 5, in our text, we see that Jesus enters into Simon's workplace because Simon was a commercial fisherman. Now back in those days, they didn't have refrigeration. And so the fishermen would go out at night, and they didn't fish like this, you know. They fished on these big boats, like 15 men could fit in these boats, and they would throw the nets out into the water and drop the nets, and they would scoop up masses of fish, and then they would bring them into the shore in the morning so that people could have fresh fish every day. And so fish equals money for Simon. Well, it had been a bad day at work. Simon had been out all night long and hadn't caught anything, which means he didn't make any money. So he's on the seashore, cleaning his empty nets. And then this rabbi shows up. And he's like, hey, Simon, can I borrow your boat? He's like, fine, whatever. And after Jesus is done preaching from the boat, he says, hey, Simon, I got an idea. Why don't you just push out into the water, into the deep water, and drop your nets again? Well, first of all, it's daytime. And secondly, what does Jesus know about fishing? So Simon is faced with this moment of decision. He's like, out of respect for the cloth, I'll fine. And they push out into deep water. And he drops the nets in the water. And all of a sudden, fish just start filling these nets. And there are so many fish that Simon and Andrew can't pull it in. So he's like, James and John, get your boat over here. We've got to pull these fish in. And they pull in so many fish. And I can just imagine what Simon said in that moment. He sees this big catch and he goes, holy fish, Batman! Remember that sermon from Isaiah? We read that passage today. Holy fish. Holy Jesus. See, Simon had an encounter with God, not only in his home, but in his workplace. And in that moment, he had an epiphany. He saw himself for who he really was. And he said, I am a sinful man. You need to get away from me, Jesus. Just like Isaiah did when he said, I am ruined. And what does Jesus do? He says, yeah, I know. I know who you are, Simon. And I love you. Now get up. Let me show you something. He says, Simon, you catch fish for a living, and that's good. Now, let me tell you a little something about the text itself. In the Greek, the Greek word for catch fish, now this is really deep, so you gotta go with me, okay? The Greek word here for catch fish means catch fish. I know that's hard to grasp, okay? But the reason I point that out is because in the next line, when Jesus says in verse 10, don't be afraid, from now on you will be catching people. The Greek word there is a different word. It's a word that literally means capture alive. Like if you were going to go take prisoners in war, you don't want to kill them, you want to capture them alive. So Jesus says to Simon, no longer will you catch fish, you will capture people for me, for life. And what does Simon do? Look in verse 11. It says, when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. That word there, left everything, I'm going to the Greek again. The word there for left, it's actually not the word dropped. It's left. It's the Greek word aphiemi. If you were here last week and you heard the sermon, you remember me saying that the key word there was aphesis, which is the noun version of aphiemi. The word means liberty, freedom, forgiveness, release. You see, Peter released his nets and followed Jesus. He forgave his nets. He liberated his nets. Do you know what I think was liberated in that moment? Peter was liberated. Simon, who was later called Peter, Simon was liberated because something changed. No longer was he defined by catching fish. But now he saw himself and his work in a different light. And then it says, if you follow the Gospels, he went on, and all of the disciples, they did two things. They went into people's homes, and they went into people's workplaces, and they brought Jesus into those places. See how that works? That's what Jesus did. Jesus pursued Simon in his home and in his workplace and transformed him. And then Simon just did what Jesus did. You see, something changed in Simon. First of all, he had a transformed self-image. When he encountered Jesus for who Jesus really is, Simon saw himself in a new light. He saw himself as a sinner, saved by God's grace. But he also saw himself not as a person defined by what he does for a living, but as a person who God has given a living work so that he can live. Because he had a transformed vocation. No longer was he catching fish, but he was catching people for life. What does that look like for us? You know, in my story, it kind of happened the way my thought experiment went, metaphorically, because I was a caricature artist, and Jesus did come into my life and change my perspective, and he said, you can draw people for money, or you can meet people and draw them into the kingdom. And I literally did drop and release my pencil and follow Jesus in full-time ministry. That is my calling. That's not everybody's calling. But in some way, Jesus is calling each of us to look at our workplace in a new way. On Friday morning, I stood in this spot, right here, just 2 days ago, and I laid my hand on the coffin of a friend named Jay Lang. I want to tell you Jay's story, because I think that Jay's story is a picture of what we're talking about. Jay reminds me a lot of Simon, big guy, robust, full of life, but an ordinary guy. Jay was a food technician at General Mills for 31 years. Faithful, hardworking guy. But Jay was captured by Jesus and transformed. Jay was not a guy who was defined by what he did for a living. Jesus changed that, and he knew that what he did for a living supported his mission. Jay poured his life into young men as a catechism mentor, as an Own Your Faith mentor. He was not afraid to share Jesus with anybody. You know why I know that Jay was not defined by his work? Because after 31 years of employment at the same place, last year he was laid off with a whole slew of people his age because they were just a little too old. Most men would have been devastated by that. Most men would have been embittered by that. But not Jay. Because Jay knew that that was just a job. Even in the midst of that, in the midst of cancer, in the midst of unemployment, Jay knew that God had called him to a mission to pour into people's lives, to be catchers of people. So my question for us today is, when you look into your workplace, when you look into your home, how do you see it? Has Jesus captured you enough to know that every one of us has been called to leave it behind, to not be defined by it, but to know that we are on God's mission in the world, in our homes and in our workplaces, every day, every one of us caught up in the mission of God? That's what it means to have gone fishing over your cubicle, right? Catching people for life. Would you stand and pray with me? God, you call us every day. You invite us every day to follow the ways of Jesus. Give us the courage to let it go, to leave everything, and re-envision our homes and our workplaces as your mission. We thank you that we can be with you in this great calling. In Jesus' name, amen.
Of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your temple.